Ellen Rappel Shell is a journalism professor at Boston University and the author of Cheap, The High Cost of Discount Culture. In the book, Shell explores the effects that our obsession with low prices has had on us, as she told Anne Strangechamps.
The idea of bargains, of course, is a very venerable idea and a noble one on many levels. You know, the ancient bazaar was a place where we bargained for the best possible value for ourselves and our families. The difference is in the ancient bazaars, you generally knew who you were bargaining with, or you knew his family, or you knew his neighbors, you knew where he lived. And as a consequence, this bargaining was really a way to get to a fair price where the merchant would make enough to sustain himself and his business, and you would be able to afford it. If you couldn't afford something, you would go elsewhere. But that was the bargaining method. Now, of course, that's all become distorted in today's market. But what I discovered doing this book was that the discounting of things is actually a relatively recent phenomenon. There's been discounting since the Industrial Revolution, of course, made mass manufactured goods available. But the heavy discounting and the ubiquitous discounting is really a phenomenon that's only about 20 to 30 years old. In fact, in the 1950s, only about 5% of clothing, for example, was offered on discount. Now that number is closer to 75%. Of clothing. So we buy more clothing on discount than we do not on discount, for example, and we buy across the board about 33% of consumer goods at a discount. So discounting has become the marketing philosophy, the basic drive in business. It's just become a pervasive phenomenon. And again, the book gave me the opportunity, hopefully the readers, the opportunity to explore that in all its glory and also its drawbacks.
What are the main risks you see with the contemporary obsession with low prices?
Oh, wow. There are so many. Cheap goods imply cheap workers, right? So as we squeeze the supply chain, demanding more and more low prices and lower prices, right down from the seller all the way back down to the manufacturer, all the way back down to the raw materials, as we demand lower and lower prices, we have to pay lower and lower wages, right? It goes without saying. And through the 1970s up until now, the wage of the American worker has been flat or declining. Job security as well has declined significantly. I think we're all aware of that. At the same time that the cost of consumer goods has declined dramatically. But simultaneously, I think we're also aware that the cost of things we can't live without, that is housing, healthcare, education, daycare, have skyrocketed. So the American worker, in particular the middle class, is in this pinch. We can get cheaper and cheaper T-shirts in part because our wages and benefits have either been frozen or have declined in the last 30 years. That's contributed greatly to the stagnation of wages and benefits in the United States. Also to the outsourcing. Obviously, these goods, some of them cannot be made at those prices in the United States. They have to be made elsewhere in low-wage countries. And part of what's going on when we have this deep, deep discounting is just like Woolworth scoured the globe for the lowest possible prices, American and multinational companies do the same thing. And where they tend to go is where the rule of law is weakest, because obviously a country that does not enforce human rights or environmental laws, or even has them, is going to be able to do the work at a lower price. At the same time, we're kind of cannibalizing our own workforce and threatening our own stability. We are contributing to this in the developing world. So it's not a great outcome, I think, for us. And I think it's come back to haunt us.
You uncovered some really interesting facts, most of them suggesting that even when Americans are really keen on getting bargains, in fact, we may be getting fewer bargains than we think. For instance, I was surprised to learn that outlet malls are America's number one travel destination. They get more visitors every year than Times Square, Disney World, and even the Grand Canyon combined. But you discover that the outlet malls don't offer the bargains that a lot of shoppers think they're getting.
Right. The outlet malls are just a wonderful example of something called reference pricing. reference pricing, and we've all experienced this, and boy, have I, because I used to be a total dupe for reference pricing. To use a very simple example, if you buy a sweater and the sweater is $50, but the original price was $250, that original price is what we call the reference price. That's the price that's on there, the higher, maybe the manufacturer's suggested price. But that is the reference price, and that's what you assume the object is worth.
So you go home and you think, wow, I got a great deal. I just got a $250 sweater for $50.
Absolutely. And I used to do this all the time. I would come home and tell my husband, oh, look, I bought these for $30. And he'd say, but they're worth. And then he'd pause with a big grin on his face. And of course, I'd always say, oh, but they were worth three times as much. And he'd give me this kind of quizzical look and go back into whatever he's doing. But that's exactly right. And some of us more than others are really attracted to this so-called deal that we see.
But you're not going to tell me that the sweater wasn't really worth $250.
Obviously, in many cases, it wasn't. And in more and more cases, it wasn't. And that's what the outlet mall is all about. The outlet mall is generally all brand name stores. They all have names of particular brands. They're not Macy's or Bloomingdale's. They're North Face or Coach. They're brand names. And you associate those names with high quality and also high prices sometimes. So you have this reference price, this high reference price in your mind, this high quality thought in your mind when you go into an outlet store, and then you're confronted with all these low, low prices. So you assume everything in the outlet store is a deep, deep discount that you're getting, a steal. And interestingly, a lot of us just think, wow, aren't we smart to have found this really great deal? And it's not really rational. We know that outlet malls are open to everyone, but we kind of think we are the clever ones. We've kind of figured this out. I certainly felt this way, and many people do. It's sort of a subconscious reaction. But in these outlet malls, how do they get to these very, very low prices? Well, oftentimes I found that what was in the outlet malls is not offered in the traditional malls at all. You assume because the brand is there that it's the same. It is oftentimes not the same thing at all. It is manufactured deliberately for the outlet mall. And so you really don't have any idea what that object is worth.
So that Banana Republic shirt or that Coach bag you think you're buying at a great price is in fact not the same Banana Republic shirt or Coach bag that would be sold in one of their regular stores.
That's absolutely true. And I went to Coach Bag's store, actually, in the company of a business professor in Las Vegas. I went to Las Vegas because I use the metaphor of gambling when you go to an outlet mall. And she pointed out to me that the Coach bags in the store, only two in the entire store were the Coach bags you would get at a traditional store. And both those bags were well out of season. The in-season bags were not the Coach bags that were on offer at the traditional Coach bag store. So even though they may be, you know, well-made, good quality, you know, you can make that judgment yourself, they're not a Coach bag in the way that we think of a Coach bag.
Sounds like American shoppers are, in many instances, being scammed by the labeled discount that gets stuck on something. And you also wrote, not necessarily to pick on Walmart, but you found some evidence that up to a third of the items for sale at Walmart are actually more expensive than you'd find elsewhere, which certainly doesn't fit with the reputation Walmart has.
Absolutely. When you go into Walmart, you assume everything is going to be on deep discount. You think it's going to be the cheapest in the area. And Walmart takes advantage of that by offering about a third of its merchandise at a price higher than that in the region that it's found. So oftentimes you go in there knowing one or two specific items that are less expensive. You've checked it perhaps on the internet or you've shopped around. But we tend to overbuy in discount stores. For example, in outlet malls, we spend about 80% more than we do in a traditional mall. That's why they provide you with the shopping cart. You know, the shopping cart is not something that people used to use when they bought clothing, for example. But it is provided in discount stores. And the idea, of course, is that you're going to pile it high with merchandise. So you may come into the Walmart store, another discount store, thinking, you know, I saw this great deal on flower pots or whatever it is, sneakers, and that may be a great deal. But a lot of the other merchandise in the store is not a great deal. And you're going to throw that in your cart anyway because you're not really aware of prices. Most of us are only aware of prices of a few things. Again, discounters take advantage of that. As well, people should be aware that many discount stores, Walmart being one of them, acquire goods that are made specifically for that store. So even though it may have a brand name on it, a reliable brand name, the supplier is providing a special form of that good for Walmart, oftentimes not to the standards that would be offered at other full-price stores.
Wow. So if you're suggesting that shoppers pay more attention to evaluating the actual product, how are consumers supposed to do that? I mean, one of the questions you ask in Cheap is, how are consumers supposed to know whether, say, the lower price of chicken breasts at Walmart signifies a really good deal on a good product or a bad deal on an inferior product?
You know, that's a very, very good question. And what I suggest is that people start asking questions. One of the examples I use in the book is shrimp, which is a food that used to be, when I was a kid, a delicacy, and now can be very, very inexpensive, so much so that we eat more shrimp in the United States than we do tuna fish, which really blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. But we do. That is so relatively inexpensive. But much of the shrimp we get, and I detail this in the book, is produced in a very unfortunate way. It's very compromising to the environment of the South Asian countries where it's made. It's led to a lot of labor abuses, human rights abuses. And the shrimp itself is not of the quality that we used to think of shrimp 30 years ago. So what I encourage consumers to do is to look to see where the shrimp comes from. Did it come from Thailand? Did it come from China? Or did it come from the United States? And in the case of shrimp, I argue that Gulf shrimp, on average, is a better product. And potentially, you can make that calculation yourself in the store. How much more is it going to cost you? Oftentimes, it may be a dollar a pound more. Sometimes, it's substantially more. If it's substantially more, you may choose not to buy shrimp. Or you may choose to buy a lower quality, a lower price shrimp. But at least you're aware of those decisions. And you're also aware of how that shrimp was farmed.
Ellen Rappel Schell is the author of Cheap, The High Cost of Discount Culture. She spoke with Anne Strangechamps.